Have your Bibles, we'll turn to Luke's Gospel and the chapter 8. Luke's Gospel and the chapter 8. And we'll look to the Lord and pray for His blessing to be upon His Word tonight. Loving Father in heaven, we pray for Thy blessing to be upon the preaching of the Gospel of Christ. Reading Thy Word, let it please God, Lord, through the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. And I pray tonight for help to be given to the ministry of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that understanding will be given to those who are unsaved in this gathering. I pray that grace will, Lord, touch their hearts, and they'll be changed by the power of Christ even in this place tonight. They'll turn away from their sins and they'll find rest and believing. Down at the feet of Christ, we pray now for Thy blessing and for Thy glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the conversion of the demonic man here that we read about in Luke chapter 8. We've been singing a wonderful hymn tonight earlier on in our service. It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing, and my sins were washed away. And that is the testimony of everyone who's saved by the grace of God. It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, that happy, happy day that my soul, and dear child of God, your soul found peace in believing, and my sins were washed away. What a wonderful thing it is to have a testimony of how you met the Lord, of how the Lord Jesus Christ in mercy came across, in a sense, our pathway, called us out of darkness, called us onto Himself, washed us in the blood of the Lamb, made us new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you that testimony? Could you stand tonight and tell the testimony of how you sought and found the Lord Jesus Christ? No, there is a blessing in hearing such testimonies. It fills our hearts with joy in hearing the great things the Lord has done for sinners. And when we hear a man or a woman getting up and they say, I'll tell you about the wonderful, wonderful day in my life when I found the Lord Jesus Christ. I wandered in darkness and I wandered in sin. I was a wicked man or a wicked woman and I found the Lord and He changed me. Man, it touches our heartstrings. But there's another one's been saved. There's another one, in a sense, had the same experience that I had. There's another man, there's another woman who has been set free by the power of the gospel of Christ. And such testimonies bring a blessing to our hearts. There are many lessons in hearing testimonies. One great lesson is this: the Lord Jesus is mighty to save. He's mighty to save. You know, as I read this Bible, it tells me in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And you know, friends, when we hear testimonies, this great lesson is brought before us, that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world, that He is without doubt mighty to save. He can save. And that's a great lesson we can learn. And when unsaved hear testimonies, they can say Christ is a great Savior. If Christ can save that man, if Christ can save that woman, if He can forgive them for all of their sins, truly He can forgive me, left without excuse. There's unsaved in this congregation. You've heard many testimonies. Different people from different places, different backgrounds, have stood in this pulpit and they have given their testimony and they have told how they have found the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're left without excuse. Drunkards have been saved. Immoral people have been saved. Religious people have given their testimony from this pulpit. You're left without excuse. You see great lessons. Christ can save. The Bible's full of conversions. Over and over again in the Bible, we read of some of the vilest men and women in Scripture being converted. And if you were to sit down someday and with a pen and a bit of paper and write a list, I wonder who would you put on top of your list? I was sure many of us would write down Manasseh, that wicked king in the Old Testament who worshipped the devil, whose whole reign at that time was full of wickedness and of blood and of death and of murder, and he found the Lord Jesus Christ. He would be up there high on our list. We can think of Saul of Tarsus, that one who hated Christ and his people. Mary Magdalene. We can think of the dying faith. Nearly one step from hell. Very near, friends, eternity. And with one look, and with one cry, and with one look of faith to Christ, he was snatched as a brand from the burning. And the list goes on and on. But I believe that before us tonight is one of the greatest conversions found in the Bible. As we will see here by looking at this conversion, here's a man who's deep in sin. Here's a man in darkness. Here's a man in a sense heading towards the very jaws of hell. And yet he finds Christ, and he finds forgiveness, and he finds mercy down at the feet of Christ. The same Savior that saved me saved him. He was set free. I want us to look tonight then at this tremendous conversion that's found in this passage. First of all, we see about this man, we see his demons. The first information we're given about him is found in verse 27 here of Luke 8. And when he went forth to a land, there met him out of a city a certain man, and says this, which had devils long time. And the very first thing it tells you about this man, here's a man and he has devils. Here's a man from this city of the Galileans, and it tells us here he is possessed by the devil, and it tells us of Satan, the arch enemy of the people of God, the one who's driving souls into a lost eternity. Here is a man and he's holding this man in his hand. The devil's holding him. He's under control of the devil. It says in verse 29, he was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Driven of the devil. And no matter where the devil wanted this man to go, into the city, into the desert, into the mountains, into the wilderness, it didn't really matter where the devil wanted. This man was driven by the devil. He could do nothing about it. The devil led him astray, friends. Without any problem. Without any resistance. Without any battle in the part of this man, you see. This man was under the control of the devil, and the devil drives his goats. He drives them into wickedness. And he drives them into sin. How different is Christ? Christ leads his sheep, but the devil drives his goats. This man had been under control of the devil a long time, it says in verse 27. It says, when he went forth, he met a man out of the city. A certain man was the devil's a long time. Now, the Bible does not tell me how long he was under this Satan's power. At this, was it 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years? All I know, according to the Bible, and the Bible and the Holy Spirit puts it in, it was a long time. And I would suggest perhaps it was his whole life. And whatever age he was here, this man was under the control of the devil, and he was being driven by the devil. That was a long time, friends. This was not a passing phrase. Year after year, here was a man, and he was held fast in the devil's grip. Has appeared of this control. You think of the power of this control. Because in verse 30, when the Lord asked him his name, he said his name was Legion. Because many devils were entered into them. In Mark 5, a parallel passage, he says, what is thy name? The answer saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And so he's under a great control of a devil. Do you know how many is in a legion? They would tell us that a legion consists of 3,000 to 6,000. 3,000 to 6,000 are in a legion.
It's a testimony of the devil's power over this man. He says, "We, my name is Legion, for we are many." And there's 3,000 to 6,000 in a legion. Here's a man who's in great control. Been held and controlled by the devil. Powerless to resist the devil's power.
Mary Magdalene had 7 devils. 7. This man of thousands. Now I can't go in to describe what that would have been like. But he was under great power. Here's a man under the control of the devil. And the Bible tells us, and the first lesson from the scriptures, he had devils. He's had them a long time. And there were thousands. Controlling him. Driving him. Leading him, friends, into sin and into wickedness. You know, that's a real great picture of the sinner in the sight of God, according to the Bible. And I want the unsaved to notice this tonight. If you're not saved, you are under the control of the devil. The same one that held this man in his hand, and the same one that drove this man into the mountains and into the wilderness, is the very same one that's driving you into sin, that's driving you away from Christ, that's leading you down towards hell. It's the same one. The Bible teaches us that. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him," it says, "at his will." Friends, at his will. And the Bible's talking here about people taken captive by the devil at his will. It is a very, very, very easy thing for the devil to control you if you're not saved tonight. And he's driving you into the world, and he's driving you far away from Christ, and he's driving you towards a lost eternity. You're under the control of the devil. In John 8, verse 44, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of this. He said to those religious Jews, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." Here's Christ speaking. These were religious men. These were men who went to the temple. These were men who prayed. And the Lord Jesus tells them, "Well, ye are of the father your devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." You will obey the devil. He has you under your control. Oh, dear friends, that is what the devil has you tonight if you're not saved. Satan has you under his control, driven of the devil. Why is it you live the life that you're living? Why is it you do the things that you're doing? Because you're under control of the devil. And you're following his footpath. And you're following his plan for your life. And he's leading you astray. Being under control of the devil made this man unclean, because in Mark 5 verse 2 it says, "And when he was come out of the ship immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man," and it said this, "with an unclean spirit." Not only was he under control of the devil, but it was an unclean spirit. And being a subject of the devil, he was unclean. Well, you can read, here's a man lived in filth and in sin, because he was under control of the devil. It can be no other way. He was driven into the wilderness. He was driven into sin. He was driven into rebellion. He, in a sense, friends, was taking the very law of God, and he was smashing it into 1,000 pieces. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about his law. No, he was under the control of the devil. And he was unclean. And can I say to any of his own saved tonight, listen, the devil's driving you into uncleanness. The devil's driving you into wickedness and into sin tonight. And the Bible says in Psalm 14 and verse 3, they're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. That's God's testimony of those who's following a course of the devil and of sin. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Is that your life tonight? You're defiled and unclean and filthy and wicked. Why? Because you're driven by the devil. Because you have obeyed the lust of the devil. Thomas Watson said, sin stamps the devil's image on a man. That is the devil's stamp upon sin. And I look around this town, I look around this country, and we see people following wickedness, following sin. And dear friends, the stamp of sin, the devil's image, is upon them. This man was unclean. The devil's possessed him. He was unclothed. Because look what it said in verse 27. It says in the verse 27, and he wore no clothes. Oh, friends, do you see this man in the city of the Galileans? He's a madman. And he's running about naked. He didn't care about common decency at all. Didn't care about the other people that lived around him. No, it tells us here specifically, here he is, this man, under the control of the devil, and he wears no clothes. Sin makes a man or woman naked. Nakedness. It's all around us today. The papers, the posters, the dresses of people. Nakedness. Why? Driven of the devil. Driven, dear friends, of the devil. Man, again, I say, is naked in the sense that he has no righteousness of his own. In Romans 3, verse 10, as is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. In Revelation 3 and verse 17, talks about that people at the church that they knew not that they were poor and blind and naked. And you have nothing to offer unto God by yourself. No righteousness, no good works. Nothing to merit to get you into heaven, you see. And saying you have no righteousness before a holy God, you have nothing to dress yourself up in, you're naked. This man was unclothed. He was uncontrollable as well, because you can see in verse 29, for he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him, for oftentimes it had caught him. He was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bonds and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. All the people of that city, they tried to control this man. And they would get a hold of him, and they would bind him in chains, and they would bind him in fetters, and they would say, listen, we've got to lock him up. We've got to chain him up. And every time they put the chains on this man, he plucked them asunder. They couldn't hold him, friends. Such was the power of wickedness and of Satan in his life. It says in Mark 5 and verse 4, neither could any man tame him. They couldn't tame him. He was beyond hope. People tried to tame him. People tried to help him. They say, if we chain him up, if we lock him up, it'll help him. But he broke the chains asunder. He was uncontrollable. It says in Mark 8 and verse 28 about this man, and in fact there was another man with him, so that no man could pass by that way. And notice, no man could pass by. The people were terrified of him. And they would say to their children and the young people, don't be going down round there by the tombs, because he lived in the tombs by the way. Don't be going past him. Don't go near him. He is a wicked and a dangerous man, and there was no man would pass by him. They were afraid of him. Dear friends, he could not be controlled. Snapping the chains asunder. Uncontrollable. It's the same today, friends, that the sinner is uncontrollable. We can bind him up with the law of God. And maybe as a parent, you've tried to do that with children. Bind them up with the law of God. And they snap it asunder. The teaching of the Sunday school teachers, the preacher of this pulpit, we've sought to help him, we've sought to bind them up, to control them, and to stop them going astray and running after the world and running after sin. But oh, the sinner, what happens is this, he breaks it all in pieces. All controllable. How many people have broken promises.
How many people have said, I'll give up the booze. I'll give up such and such a sin. But they find themselves, friends, that are held and they cannot do it. I was speaking to people through the week. And this person smokes and smoking for years.
I said, you should give them up. They says, how can you do it? How can I do it?
Because, friends, they have tried. And they have tried. And they have promised. And they threw them down. And they threw them in the fire. And they says, I'll get away from it. I'll get away from this drug.
But they can't get away. Because it holds them, friends. And maybe you have promised you'll give up the booze.
You give up your wickedness. You'll give up your sin. And friends, you've tried and you've tried and you've tried in yourself and you've found that it holds you. You can't get away.
That's the way Legion was, you see.
As Matthew Henry said a statement, he says, the way of sin is downhill. A man cannot stop himself when he will.
And I want us to say that again because I thought it was a very good statement. The way of sin is downhill. A man cannot stop himself when he will.
Because there are many people who think, well, I'll start and I'll go to the pubs and the clubs and a few drinks, you know. And you know, if I want to stop, there's no problem. I'll just stop and I'll walk up the hill. But they'll find themselves, they're going down and down and downhill, and it is extremely difficult to stop.
It's downhill. All controllable, friends. The demons made them all controllable. Are you uncontrollable? Are you a young person? Uncontrollable? Older person held by sin? Uncontrollable? Driven by the devil. Remember that? Remember the devil has a big say in the way you're living your life if you're not saved?
Remember he has a great say in the way you're living your life? Remember he has you in the palm of your hand tonight? Remember he's leading you astray? Remember, he's holding you fast. Remember that?
And you're just loving to have, like it to be so. You see, he's long and so. He was unhappy as well, these demons, because in Mark 5, verse 5, it says, and always day and night he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones.
I ask you the question, was he happy, this man? No man could tame him. Everybody was afraid of him. He ran after wickedness. He ran after sin. He had sin up to the neck, friends. But I ask you the question, was he happy? Not a bit of it. No, the Bible tells us always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying.
He was crying. He was cutting himself with stones. He was trying to end it all, friends. He was miserable. He was unhappy.
If you're really honest tonight, on see it in this meeting. You're not happy.
The world will not make you happy. Sin will not make you happy, friends.
No rest is that you crying at night. No home. This man dwelt among the dead, the tombs. Does the devil suggest suicide to your heart and to your mind, you see? He was under the control of the devil, and he was cutting himself, and he was crying, and he was crying night and day.
Maybe the parents or the children heard him crying and the mum said, that's Legion. Crying through the night, he was crying, friends.
And he was all unsaved because in verse 28 talked about, torment me not.
If he was bad now, friends, the worst was yet to come. He was crying there sitting in the graveyard in the mountains, but the worst was yet to come. He had to be tormented and punished for his sin and go to hell. And I say to you tonight, the worst is yet to come for you.
You go on without Christ. You go on in your sin. And the worst is yet to come. And you'll find yourself lost and lost for all eternity. Driven by the devil. Aye, driven down towards hell.
And that's where you're going tonight if you're not saved. And that's the teaching of the Bible. That's where this man was.
You say, Noel, I was not as wicked as this man.
If you're not saved, the devil's driving you down towards a lost eternity. He's holding you.
Oh, you're quieter. He's taking you quietly along towards hell. This man was being driven down towards hell in great wickedness.
You see his demons. He's under control of the devil. Can I say this? His deliverance. You have the coming of Christ. In verse 22, the Lord makes a statement, let us go over on the other side. Unknown to the disciples, the Lord Jesus was going to help this man. You can find, as we read there, that he had to go through a storm. A great storm broke out in the sea, and the boat went up and down, and the disciples were filled with jeopardy. But the Lord Jesus was coming. He was coming to help this man. Indeed, he came right to where the man was. Right to where this man was himself. You see the words in verse 28, and when he saw Jesus. Friends, everything's changed. When he saw Jesus, he saw wickedness held by the devil. And in this day, who came up the road? He looked down, and here was the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he saw Jesus, he got a glimpse of Christ. He saw the Lord Jesus. And friends, I tell you this, he saw there's one could help me. He saw it was Christ. And Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came from heaven. He had to go through the storm of the cross in order to save us and endure the wrath of God in order that we might be saved, you see. And for Christ to deliver this man, he had to go through the storm. And for Christ to deliver us, he had to suffer. He had to bleed. He had to die, friends. The Lord came to where he was. And I'm glad when we preach the gospel, the Lord comes to a service like this. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, the Lord Jesus says, there am I in the midst of them. And the Lord has come tonight in this meeting to save sinners, to call sinners unto himself, and to set them free. That's what we have here, the coming of Christ. And when he saw Jesus, he saw there was a friend in Christ. He saw there was a Savior in the Lord Jesus. Friends, do you see Jesus tonight? Do you see he loves you? Do you see he died for you? Do you see that he can save you, friends, to the uttermost? You'll never get to heaven unless you see Christ by faith. What a glorious day it was when he opened my eyes and to those who saved tonight in this place. We saw Christ. We were driven by the devil, held by sin, held by Satan. And we saw Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. We saw Jesus. You have also not only the coming of Christ, the command of Christ. For the Lord Jesus Christ commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him. And he cast the demons out of this man. There were 2,000 pigs. And his spirits went into these hogs, and they ran down and down and down the hill and drowned themselves in the water, friends. And they were lost. And the Lord Jesus, by his love and by his power and by his mercy, he set them free. Just one word. Come out of him, he said. He looked at this man with compassion. He saw what he had been doing. He saw the life he had been living. And he says, come out. And he came out. The demons ran. The demons were driven into these hogs, and away they went down into the depths of the sea. One word tonight from Christ, and he can save you. Come unto me, he says, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and trust me, he says to you tonight. And if you come, he will save you. Oh, that tonight you will be saved. Think of this man's the comforts from Christ. We find in verse 35, he was content. In verse 35, it tells us he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. When the people come out, friends, no doubt they saw a wonderful change, and his life had been wrought. He was changed. He was never sitting before. He was driven by the devil.
They tried to make him sit. They chained him and he broke the chains in sunder. And here he was. He was content. He was sitting at the feet of Christ. He was clothed, it tells us. He was calm. In his right mind, everything had changed in this man. He was a new man. They couldn't believe this was the same man who terrorized the community. But it was the same man. But what a wonderful change in his life had been wrought since Jesus came into his heart, friends. And I'm glad tonight the Lord would give you peace like a river. We were singing that great hymn, "It's flooding my soul since Christ my Savior maketh me whole." You'll never find contentment in the world. You'll never find peace in your heart in this world. You'll only find peace and contentment down at the feet of Christ. That's where you'll find it. You can search this world high and low, but you'll never find true contentment or true peace. Only at the feet of Christ, only place. And Christ will clothe you in his righteousness. And Christ will give you that peace, friend, that passeth all understanding. You see, dear friends, we have here his deliverance. What? It was Christ and his word. And that's why we preach the gospel. People say, why do they preach the gospel? Why do you get up there and preach? Well, the same thing, in different messages, in different ways and formats, and different topics. Why do we preach? Well, we preach the gospel because that's how you will be saved. That's how you will get everlasting life. That is how you will, dear friends, be freed by the word of God. And by the power of Christ. And Christ set this man free. And the people couldn't believe it, friends. When they came out to look at him, there he was, sitting down at the feet of Jesus. Came out lastly at his discipleship. Because in verse 38 it tells us, "And the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him." He wanted to be with Christ. He was longing to be with Christ. And Christ wouldn't have it. And the Lord Jesus tells him there in verse 39, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God has done for thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Ah, he went out and he preached all over the place. And he told them what? He gave his testimony. And he told them the great things that God, that Christ had done unto him. He was Satan's slave. Now Christ's servant. Is this the same man? Is this the man who terrorized the community? Is this the man who was driven by the devil? Is this the man who was held in sin? Is this the man people were afraid of? Yes, friend. Is this the man who lived in the graveyard? This is the same man, and he's preaching and he's testifying about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same man. He was converted. And I'll tell you this, that's what you need. You need to be set free. You need to be saved. And if the Lord can save this man, he can save you. If the Lord can forgive this man, he can forgive you. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. All these conversions of the Bible are given to us to show us the greatness of Christ. And the greatness of his power and of his mercy, friends, and how he can save all these things. Could you imagine this man going home? For Christ told him to go home. And he's going home and he's telling the great things God has done for him. His family would not believe it was the same man. The door is open and there he is, legion. He's calm, he's peaceful, he's clothed, he's got a new tongue, a new language, he's got a new love within his heart. He tells them all of Jesus. I met Jesus. Tell me, if you met Christ as your Savior, are you trusting him, friends? Are you resting totally in Christ? And then you can sing, as we were singing earlier on, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." He can save you. You need to be saved, or you'll never get rest. You'd be tormented day and night forever and ever. The Bible talks about those who die in their sins and would be punished, friends. It's a foolish thing to follow a course of sin to be lost forever. But come and trust Christ. Any questions, come and speak with me.
Don't go home without the Lord Jesus tonight as your own and personal Savior. But turn and trust the Lord Jesus with all of your heart. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of verses of a hymn and closing. 323. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound to save the wretch like me. I think we can put this hymn to this man that we've been looking at tonight. I think I can put it to myself, and child of God, certainly you can put it to yourself, that the Lord has ever saved us. It is amazing. We'll sing verse 1, verse 2, and the last verse, verse 7, and we'll stand to sing 323. We thank you for the amazing grace of an amazing God. We thank you for this testimony we've looked at from the Bible, a man of great wickedness and of sin. But we thank it all changed when he met the Lord Jesus. And I pray this will be the testimony of those who's all saved in this meeting, that thou will give them spiritual eyesight to behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Bless your word in all of our hearts we ask of thee. Be with us now, Lord, we pray, and take us to our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.